You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Derek Lopez.
Today, we'll be talking about the kingdom, building the kingdom, and how we build the kingdom, even why we build the kingdom, why it's important. Let's go ahead and let's pray before we begin. Father God, we're so thankful for all that you do, all that you are, for your nature and your character. Lord, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful that he made a way where there was no other way. Lord, we ask that you'd move in all of our hearts, and Lord, I'd ask you'd bless this time that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so Jesus, he starts to mention to the disciples before he ascends to heaven what's going to happen. So Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. It's really a continuation of the book of Luke. It's the second movie, if you will, right? It's everything that had happened. Some people actually call it the fifth gospel because it's part of the gospel story. And so Jesus, he's with them, but it starts off in Luke chapter 1 with Luke writing to this man, Theophilus. He says, "I wrote you all that Jesus began to do and teach," talking about the former book, "until the day that he was taken up into heaven after having given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." Isn't that amazing that it says that he gave instructions through the Holy Spirit? It's so important that we're full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He had the Spirit without limit, Scripture says. And so I think it's very interesting that people say that the moving of the Holy Spirit has stopped. Well, Jesus is speaking this through the Holy Spirit. And it's the one thing that we all need more than, we need salvation. We need the blood of the Lamb to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But there's another step. And he talks about that. He says, it says, after his suffering, he presented himself and gave them many convincing proofs he was alive. What were the convincing proofs? He ate food. He said, "Hey, give me something to eat. I'm hungry." He said, "Look at my hands, Thomas. Look at the holes in my feet. Look at my side. Put your finger there." He said, "Hey, look, I'm physical. I'm real. I'm alive." He showed them many times he was alive. He appeared to them over the period of 40 days and began to speak to them about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father had promised, which you heard me speak about." He says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so we're not talking so much on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. We all need boldness. Amen. Who knows that they received boldness after the Holy Spirit came on them? It says they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates." He basically just pushes the question aside. They're asking about the end that the Father has set by his own authority, "but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we need boldness. If you want to know more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come up during the prayer time. We'd love to pray with you, pray over you. Even John said that Jesus would baptize with fire. He's the one who baptizes. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. And we need that boldness. You know, my kids the other night, they had some boldness come over them. I don't know what was going on, but it was a couple of my kids who shall remain nameless. And I said to them, "It's time to go to the bed." And they said, "We're doing a puzzle." And I said again, "It's time to go to bed." And they said, "I'm doing a puzzle." Boldness. In a negative way. Who knows, we have boldness. We can have boldness in a negative way and a positive way. But we need the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And really, Pastor Nathan, he had some boldness last couple weeks. He sat with the imam at the mosque in Fishers. They had this conversation, and what ended up happening, he said, why don't you take 15 Christians, bring them over to our place, bring them over to the mosque, we'll have 15 Muslims, we'll have dinner, we'll argue, we'll talk about our beliefs. And so Pastor Nathan said, game on. Well, they had some Muslims there, but we're walking through the door, and we're all meeting the leader of that mosque, and we're shaking his hand, and he said, and you're a pastor? And you're a pastor? And you're a pastor? And he's like, how many pastors did you bring? And he said, well, I didn't bring all of them. But we sat down, we had great conversations, and really, the conversations were very much of, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, why would there need to be a sacrifice? And so the conversations were very healthy. They're trying to recruit us and tell us what's wrong about our religion, but who knows, we're doing the same. But the difference was we had the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Who knows, that's the difference in our life. And we could look in these people's eyes and say, if you don't accept Jesus as Lord, you will go to hell and you will not go to heaven. And so the conversation were things like, I don't understand why there needed to be a blood sacrifice. And I said, look, if I steal your phone, if I take your phone, I stole it, right? And he said, yeah, absolutely. And I said, now if I give 1,000 other phones back, even if I give you your phone back, did I still steal your phone? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, if I give it back to you, I still stole your phone. I'm still tainted. I'm still a sinner. And he said, you know, you have a good point. But that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit. I want to tell people about God's goodness, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But Jesus talks about, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He gives the model. What's the model? It's here, it's near, it's far. Jerusalem, that'd be like our city of Fishers. Judea and Samaria, that's our state and country. To the ends of the earth, obviously far. And so how we build the kingdom, our model, what our vision is, fathering sons and daughters into the kingdom of God. Now that's at every stage. It's not one stage. It's not saying that, hey, just come to know the Lord Jesus, just pray a prayer out loud and you're good for the rest of your life. No, we want to father people. There's a difference between an absent dad and a present father. Amen, everybody? That's what we want to be for you. That's why groups are so important, that you get involved in a life group. Because we all need things that are corrected. People looking in the eye and say, you're crazy about that. You don't need to think that way. You're hurting your life. You're hurting your family. But there's several ways that we accomplish this. In 1 Peter 4:7, he mentions the broad spectrum. So starting in verse 7, it says, the end of all things is near. Who knows that the end is near? I'm not going to get deep into eschatology today, but they're about to get their land back in Israel. What are they going to do? They're going to build a temple. And they're prepared. You know, they have all of the furniture, everything to rebuild the temple. They have it in a warehouse. They even have... And it doesn't mean anything to us if we don't understand, but they have the red heifers right now. They're about to turn 3. That's when they can first sacrifice a red heifer without spot or blemish to purify a priest. They're about to sacrifice one of the red heifers on a high altar. Some think they've already done it. But we're close, everybody. In the 70s, 1970s, they thought they were close. They weren't that close. We're close. When did the end start? It started in 1948. What happened? God called the Jewish people back to Israel, fulfilling scripture saying they will be brought from the ends of the earth back as a nation. Just saying, it's close. It should be on our minds. Why? Because this life isn't about this life, like I said before. It's about the life to come. It's about the kingdom. The end is near. Aren't you glad you came to church? So he says this, therefore be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. We don't want to be focused on stuff that doesn't matter. We want to focus on stuff that really does. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, without whining and complaining. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Then he says, if anyone speaks, they should speak as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God might be praised through Jesus. To him be all the glory and the honor and the power forever and ever and amen. So he says, you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, whatever gift. And really, we're going to break it down to three areas. We serve with our time, we serve with our talent, and we serve with our treasure. Those are the three ways. And how we do that here at Life Church, we do that through come to life, connect to grow, find a purpose, and make a difference. Now, that doesn't mean it's just about the church. It's just about here. No, it's here, near, and far. Come to life. Right? We want to invite people to come to church. We want to invite people to Easter. But what's more important that people come to Life Church is that they actually come and know the one who's the source of life. And how do we do that? We just tell our story. Yes, we can get into different reasons of the reliability of the Bible. We can get to do all different types of things, even how intelligent design, how that's a real thing. But telling your story, no one can argue with what your eyes have seen and what your heart has experienced. So I'm sitting down with this man back at the mosque who's a doctor in Anderson, a very intelligent man, and I ask him, my first question is, why, or not why, but what do you love most about being a Muslim? And he begins to tell me, basically, long story short, it's the community. But then I got what I wanted was he asked me, what's my favorite part? And I said, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I thought, it's probably salvation first, right? But it's the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. He actually talks to me. He wants to have relationship with me. And he's like, well, only our leader, God only talks to our leader, and he only talked through Muhammad. He doesn't talk to me that way. Well, I said, well, my God gives me visions and gives me dreams. He speaks to me. He leads me. He guides me by peace and lack of peace. And then I asked, what do you dislike most about being a Muslim? And he basically said, or what's the hardest part? And he said, the hardest part isn't bowing, kneeling 5 days. It's not doing any of these different things. All that's easy now. For us as Christians, it would be like tithing, like we just write it, like just part of it. We don't consider the, you know, we live off the 90. We don't live off the 100. For him, that's easy. He said, but it's that it flows from my heart. He said, that's the hard part for this, that it really is in my, and it flows from my heart. And he said, what about you? And I said, honestly, it's that I love my neighbor as myself. Who knows, that's hard. It's hard to love each other deeply like Peter talks about, that covers sins. Why? Because people hurt us. So I'm telling him this, and he's seeing the honesty, and he didn't come to know the Lord in this moment, but then I asked him, why did you become a Muslim? And he gives me a long story about how he grew up one, and then he had to make a decision as a teenager, and then he ended up making that decision saying, you know, it has to be, like, this is just the truth. And he said, what about you? And this is my story. I was at my uncle's house. He was being a little rough with me as a little boy. Maybe around 10. You know, he didn't hit me, but he was rough enough. And he's really rough with his words. And one of my dad's brothers, and I remember he left the room, and I'm looking at the door in his living room thinking to myself, my dad's brothers and sisters are all crazy. They have broken marriages. They're hurt. They're abusers. And I said, my mom's side of the family isn't like that. They're still married. I enjoy more being over there than I do being over here. My dad is not like these men and women he should be like. And I'm not trying to bring any shame on anybody today. But I remember thinking as a 9 or 10 year old, however old I was, that Jesus has to be real, because the only difference between these two groups, between my dad and his brothers and sisters, is Jesus. He doesn't hurt me. He doesn't abuse me. He's not perfect. You're not perfect, Dad. But Jesus has to be real. And I said to him, I can't deny who I have experienced. Aunt Lisa, you're part of that. Your marriage is part of that for me. Uncle Mike, you're part of that. Mom and Dad, they're all part of that. People coming to life isn't just about us standing on a street corner and yelling. It's also about how we live our life. And how you live your life is a testimony to other people. It's like what's said in 1 Thessalonians, that you should work with your hands diligently so that you might win the respect of outsiders. Mind your own business. So I'm telling him this story, but then I really messed him up real bad. Because by the end of the conversation, he was shaking. Because I started to tell him about miracles I have seen. I started to tell him about how I've seen the glory of God come into a room. And I said, my eyes, it can't deny that. And even some Christians don't believe, and I said this to him, don't believe what I saw. And I said, but I will die for Jesus because of who I've experienced. Because I've seen the glory of God manifest in a room. I've seen gold fall from midair down on people. And I'm not seeking that. But there are things that I've seen. I've seen demonic spirits manifest in people and leave in the name of Jesus in this city in the past couple years. I said, I can't deny that. And he stood up and he said, well, it's time. I've got to go pray now. And he's shaking to shake my hand. Jack that guy up. Right? And you know, he didn't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior at that moment. Probably hasn't yet, but who knows? That's messing with him. We just tell our story. That's what happened to disciples. They told what their eyes have seen, what their ears have heard. We want to build the kingdom here. Yes, we want to invite people to church, but we want to show other people the goodness of God by how we live and what we speak and tell them about Jesus. Because it makes a difference in people's life. We want to connect to grow. We want to get involved with life groups like Yolanda talked about, that you need a life group. But you know what? Somebody needs you too. Because it's easy to see from the outside looking in at somebody else. And we want to be a blessing for people. Don't you want to be a blessing for people too? I think that's the greater gift of life groups, is being a blessing. And some of you need to look at the fall semester and maybe lead a life group. I know the summer's coming up. You can lead a life group there too. But I'm looking, right now my focus is on the fall. I'm looking in September right now. That's where my mind is at. Some of you need to lead a life group because there's somebody that God wants to touch through your life to be a blessing to other people. We connect to grow. We find our purpose. That's at the growth track. So the growth track happens on the 24th of this month after service. What's great about it is you get to take a personality test to help you to see what your natural giftings are and what you're more lean to with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we should earnestly seek all the gifts. The Bible says we should seek after prophecy. We should seek the greater gifts of the Holy Spirit. For some of us, we need to know where we're at. And you can come make an impact. How you make a difference here at Life Church is you go through the growth track and you start to serve. And what's going to happen is on Easter Sunday, new people are going to come in, and it's going to be more than we can handle. I mean, we'll have enough seats, but But who knows that somebody's going to be missed when they come through the door to be greeted. And it's not about just giving you just a mindless task that you don't have to worry about. No, when people see you smile, it's not about you. It's about the love exuding from your face. Because who knows, maybe they've had the worst week of their life. Maybe their parents died. Maybe their kid is estranged and on drugs. We don't know. But sometimes that smile can break down a wall and allow the Holy Spirit to move. Coffee, why the coffee is so important is it gives people comfort. What does comfort do? It helps cultivate the soil for the Holy Spirit to work. Not that we need coffee for the Holy Spirit to work, right? But you get what I'm saying? Like there's a reason behind everything. There, even the kids' ministry, it's not childcare, it's a ministry. We want to minister to those little hearts. We want to be like Jesus saying, no, you can come. Don't hinder the children. They can come. And you might be on the sidelines. We need you. We need you to go through the growth track to make a difference here. Make a difference here, near and far. Even from Sunday to Sundays, we have the youth that meets on Wednesday nights. You can go through the growth track. Everything's through the growth track to be able to serve. Because we need to know you, you need to know us, you need to learn more about the church. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. We need that. We have to have that. And who knows, I can't know everybody at one time. You got to go through the growth track so that you can make a difference. And then maybe you need to learn how to pray. We all need more prayer. Saturday prayer at 9 a.m. You can come here, intercede for your city, intercede for your family, intercede for your own life. Come into the presence of the Lord Saturdays at 9 a.m. Want to make a difference in how we live and in what we do. The near, there's different organizations that we help. We actually have these guides out in the lobby that talk about all the different organizations that we're a part of that we either give funds to or we serve with. So one of those is the Indianapolis Dream Center that helps with single moms to find a way to get out of poverty. Another one is the Agape Wellness Center to help them with their mission to have low-cost health care, low-cost clinic, In one where people can receive prayer. It's body, soul, mind, and spirit. All of it. But we have these. There's more information. Love for you to grab one on your way out today. Talks about everything we did last year, what we're doing this year. But you have even Dave and Dawn Rose of Teen Challenge. We give to them. And I'm on the board for Teen Challenge in the state of Indiana. And I'll be going up there in April to speak to some of the young girls up there. Then there's the Eagle Creek Hunger Corporation over at Eagle Creek. We've changed the name of the food pantry just so that they can receive more funds that come in. But we make a difference. We don't just make a difference here. It's for our city and our state. We want to pray for our leaders. You can make a difference here by praying and lifting up our governors, future governor. Ask the Lord to move. Pray for the assistant to the lieutenant governor. Assistant to, I told Micah, if you get in, you'll be the assistant to the governor. I thought it was funny, but kind of butchered it. But then there's the FAR. There's all the international projects that we're a part of. But for some of you, you know, it's easy to say, well, we give towards BGMC, we give towards Speed to Light, we give towards all these organizations, but not have a heart connection with what's happening. And so one of the places we go is Nicaragua. I'm going to invite Lori up here. She's going to talk to us a little bit about missions. The mic's over there, Lori. But I'm going to ask her a series of questions she's going to help us understand more of the heart of missions today. And so if you could put some of those... Oh, you okay? Sorry about that. Flip it up. Right there.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good. So Lori's been on many mission trips here with Life Church to Nicaragua. How many have you been on?
This will be my 13th coming up in July. So, yeah, the very first trip that the church went on as an exploratory trip to see if we would be connecting to Nicaragua, I was on that trip. And it was very evident in a short period of time that we all on the team were like, yeah, this feels right. Including yeah. Pastor Nathan. He was leading that trip.
So we focus on one specific area because we don't want to spread out our people. We want to focus on those people and that missionary. And that's really what we believe is that we're to support Nicaragua. But could you talk to us about some of these photos that we see?
There are. This is outside of the church and school. There are plenty of kids that come that may not attend the school, but there's always kids around, and they love to be loved on. So, and they love to get pictures taken. This is the Women's Event Center, and this is, I don't see her, but I believe that was Sherry Demas that was presenting this women's message. And we also play games at the women's event. And those chairs we have put in the budget because the women, they just, when they start playing a game, it just, the competition is crazy. They become like different women. And it's so funny. It's so funny to witness. And a chair usually gets broken in the musical chair game, so. This is a little girl from the very first trip that just touched me. So that's my very first picture on my phone roll, my picture in my phone. So I've got a lot of pictures. This is playing games in right outside the school with all the kids. I think this was VBS. So this is, they love to play games. They just love to connect. I mean, they love to love. This is on traveling on the bus. The lady in the front is one of our facilitators. She's awesome. She's been our facilitator many trips. It's Isabel. And Pastor Franklin is sitting beside me with his son. They are expecting child number two, and that has been a prayer for many years.
Now, this
for
is the
them.
Most recent?
Yes, this was in July. There's Pastor Mike behind me. so that was a huge surprise and blessing for them to now be expecting number two. This is when we went in April on Easter. We did water baptisms, and that was amazing. I believe that's Lake Nicaragua, and after...
Is that dangerous?
Well, I believe after they came back in, one of the facilitators explained that there are alligators in that water, happened to tell us after we came back in. So, wasn't that right, Tony? Yeah, because there's Tony standing beside Ken. And they told us after we all got back in. This is the mountain that we climbed. The pastor, I'm giggling because the pastor wanted to bless us with a special trip. So we came back. We might have been out doing food distribution or something and came back. And he's like, come follow me. I've got something special to show you. Well, we're walking and we're walking and we're walking, and all of a sudden we start like walking up tall hills. And right before that trip, I had like horrible bronchitis. Oftentimes the enemy attacks me before I go, so I always know something good's gonna happen. but I had been really ill and so on an inhaler and everything. Well, so we start walking. Had I known, I would have brought my inhaler. We were literally walking up a mountain. It was at the end, it was amazing. The view was amazing. But I wasn't sure I was going to make it up that mountain. At some point, I'm like, okay, can I turn back and go back? But it was like a circle. It wasn't, there was no coming back down.
They sent you on a hike.
Yes, and it was super muddy. And I mean, I'm blessed and so happy that I got to go, but that was a challenge. So that's why I giggle about showing the mountain.
All right. Well, then, so when did you start to develop a heart for missions? Did you always have a heart for missions, or?
I've been in the optical field for over 25 years, and they do a lot of outreaches outside the country. They'll do little trips, and I always thought I would go and be in the optical, because I've been in the optical field 25 to 30 years, and so I never went. And when I was in the setting there and hearing Pastor Nathan talk about the first trip, my heart just leapt. I'm like, this is what I've got. This is me. I'm going to go on that trip. And after that, you know, it kind of hit, and I was like, oh, I've never been out of the country. I don't travel much. I'm like, whew, God, you're speaking to me that I'm supposed to go, but oh. So it was a little scary, but from that point, once I went on the first trip, people who have gone understand this, but you get the nigga bug, and it is such an awesome experience to go and witness all the blessings and God in Nicaragua and the people and the love there. It's amazing. So it was, once I went, I was hooked.
So when I'm going to ask you about fear again, but when you go, what's the number one goal, or what's the big win, or is there a measurable goal when you go?
We always want to bring the Word of God, and if we can bring the unsaved in, that's our ultimate goal, of course. But going and being the hands and feet, doing what God wants us to do there on the ground. So there's a lot of prayer, a lot of guidance and outreaches while we're there, so we can touch as many people as we can. We will do 5 outreaches. We'll do women's, men's, kids, which is a VBS, family, and a young adult. So it's, wow. It's amazing to do all of the outreaches, because we get that individual time with that group of people. The women's outreach is the one that touches me the most, but because the women, they've got it hard. Well, all of them, it's rough. It's a hard
Spanish.
Life. Yes, but okay. We have facilitators, because I don't speak Spanish. After all these times, I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
It comes as I get there, some of it. But it's amazing how you can still communicate without being fully fluent.
What are some of the important things to understand about the people in Nicaragua?
There's a lot of hurting. There's a lot of pain, which they're proud. They don't show that. So a lot of times when we do food distribution and we go from house to house and we pray over each family, that's when a lot of the needs will eventually come out. But you really, really need to pray over them hard, because they guard that. They are very loving, and they have become to know us so well when we go that they're like, oh, it's Life Church. They're safe. They look at us as safe people. At the first couple times, they were kind of guarded. They were like, we're not sure about you. but
they
quickly,
see we're invested.
Yes,
in them.
Yes. When we didn't go for the few years because of COVID, they worried about us. When we just went back in July, when we went back the first time after COVID, it wasn't in July, but it was kind of heartbreaking, because they were so concerned, because they thought we weren't ever coming back, and they were so thankful. I mean, tears, they were just like, we didn't think you were ever going to come see us again. And
wow.
So They value that connection, and they value everything we do for them way more than I think we deserve.
What has ministered most to your heart on one of these trips?
Just seeing the love of the people, how God works in them, the intense faith they have in the Word of God, and just the promise, His promises. They hold on to that so strongly, and it's amazing.
Wow. The now, talking back about fear, when you overcame that, you know, what was that fear like? I'm sure many people have that same fear, but talk about just how it was worth it, you know?
Oh, you know, so I don't like bugs, creepy crawlies, any of that. And that was my other big fear. And the mosquitoes love me here, attack me horribly. And obviously there's Zika and all kinds of mosquito-borne or diseases and everything, and bugs there and spiders and all kinds. But I never had that. Maybe I was prepared, maybe, you know, God protected all of us, but we never really had horrible issues with that. But so the fear of a lot of that and the unknown was taken away immediately. God covered us all. I mean, it was just like He protected all of us from it for sure.
Wow.
So it was that peace
from that.
Yes.
So can you talk through, just so everyone kind of understands, the day-to-day from when you leave to when you get home, and you know, what that's like?
So we gather and go to the airport. It's a few hours there. We have layovers. We arrive. We go to La Quinta, which is commonly referenced as the compound, which the first time before we ever went, they kept talking about the compound, and I thought, what am I going into? I'm like, do I need to have, you know, like a vest? You know, I thought, wow. So again, some of that because of never leaving the country. So we unpack, get settled. The famous area that is so special to everyone who goes is the porch. And it is where we go to debrief. In the evenings, we have breakfast, and in the morning, we worship and praise in the morning, talk about any prayers, talk about the next day of what we're doing. And then we, every day, go to La Concha, where we serve at the church and school. And sometimes we will head to an outreach if that's what we're doing that day. But so we serve whatever we're doing for that day, and then we come back, have dinner, usually at La Quinta, and then debrief, and then play cards and games and just kind of deprogram.
So what are some ways that people, how do the people feel when they're being ministered to? Do they share with you?
Of Nicaragua?
Yeah, Nicaragua, yeah.
They are so... They're like sponges. I mean, they love it. They just soak it all up. Love to be loved on, love to be spoken to, prayed over. It is amazing how God can bless you in so many ways in that area. So,
when you come home, what are you feeling after the trip? Like, what... You know, what's it like with everything you've experienced and then being back in America?
Oftentimes, I mean, I'm a little more programmed, I guess, now. But, I mean, I still have that giving heart, you know, where can I serve? Where can I help? You know, what can I do to help this or this, you know, and when I come back. And really throughout the year, I mean, I always am looking for something, you know, how can I serve? How can I help this person, you know, how can I bless this person? But after the first time coming back, seeing that, and you know, in the living conditions, it's one of the poorest communities up there. So, I mean, they're dirt floors, metal walls, you know, I mean, they have little to nothing. Their houses are the size of a few of these chairs in a square block. It's very small, but they're very proud. They're always sweeping their floors. So it's a very, very poor area. So when you come back, many people have a little bit of guilt because they're like, I have all of this, and I just came from them having very little. But they are so proud and love every bit of what they've got. And so it's amazing to see how they have such love and very little of anything compared to us. We are definitely spoiled here.
Yeah.
So
what, how has this changed your life? Like, how has this impacted your day to day?
I think that it has given me a different, I mean, I guess more expanded my love and eagerness to help others, and see how I can apply, expand maybe some ideas of where and how I can apply my spiritual gifts. I feel like everybody should find out what their spiritual gifts are, for sure, and apply those.
Yeah.
Pray.
Now, there still are slots open to go.
Yes, there is.
And the cost is $2,000.
Yes.
Is that right?
$2,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they had to raise that money. But
that's just for the trip, and then we usually recommend $200 to $300 for spending.
$200 to $300.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what is a cultural, if anyone goes along with you, what's a cultural change they should expect that might surprise them, other than, you know, what they have, what they don't have?
Nicaragua being less advanced, you are going to, things are way more modest. Things are slower. We joke about Nicaragua time because, like here, we're so used to, okay, at this time we're doing this. In Nicaragua, you know, lunch is supposed to be at 11. Sometimes it'll get there at 1. Sometimes it'll get there at noon. It's, you know, it's just much slower. And as far as the area, it's just a little slower.
Okay. Well, if anyone's interested, you can go to Lori. And come to us.
Or Lauren
over here in the third row, and talk to us about the mission trip. But who all is, raise your hand if you are going to Nicaragua this year. I know some of you went last year. Just Lori, Lauren. Hey, let's all put our hands towards each of them and pray over them.
Lauren's actually leading the group this year.
She's leading the group. Come up here, Lauren. Come on up, Lauren. Hey, let's go ahead and let's pray for them as they go. And if you're interested, once again, contact with one of them. But Lord, we just lift them up to you. Lord, we lift up Lori and Lauren. God, we pray for the mind of the Holy Spirit as they go. And we pray for peace in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask that you would touch people, Lord. That you'd use them, Lord, and that you would cultivate all the right relationships and friendships. And we speak protection over them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we even speak to their families' minds. Lord, we pray that you would give them peace in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask for your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Lori still has some funds that she needs to go. So if you can't give through us to her, but if you want to, I can't stop you. Okay? So go to Lori if you feel that need to bless her as she goes on this trip. She would greatly appreciate that, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's give it up for Lori.
Thank you very much.
Let me ask this. Is there anything else you want to say about the trip? Is there...
just please consider contacting us to go. It's an amazing trip. You will not be disappointed.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lori. Appreciate you so much. You know, like I said earlier, we want to build the kingdom. But building the kingdom is opposite of what most people think. It starts in us, right? Because everything we do for Jesus is from the overflow. Ministering to people is from the overflow. It's all about how we're in love with Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commands in John 14. We want to be in love with the Master, in love with his vision and what he wants and what he desires and how he wants to touch people. So yes, we do it through, we do it here, near, and far. We do it through our time, our talent, and our treasure. I ask that if you're not involved, you get involved and start making a difference here. And maybe you're not living life the way you should live life. If you look from the outside in, if you separate yourself and look back at your life, can you say, yeah, I would want to be like me? It's a deep challenge, right? The most important thing is we're connected to the Master. And he's our Savior, but he's our Master. We want what he wants. But in the lobby, my wife and I, I filled one of these out this morning for our faith promise, but I challenge you to fill out a faith promise. This isn't saying that we're going to track you down, tackle you, and say, hey, where's that money, right? We're not going to do that to you. But this is between you and the Lord, and the reason we get the top portion is it lets us know what we can do, what we can hope for with the amount that we receive back, and what we can promise next year. So if you could, fill those out before you leave. They're in the lobby. Pray over it. Maybe take a week. Bring them back. But I challenge you, let's give all that we have to Jesus. Because this life isn't about this life. Now, I'm not telling you in that statement to just give everything away. Do not do that. As your pastor, do not empty your bank account and give it to Kingdom Builders. Okay? Maybe the Lord will call you to do that. But for some of us, it does need to be a sacrifice. Where it is a challenge. You know, it's a challenge for me to give 800 bucks a year, right? It's a challenge for some of you. That isn't a challenge. For some of you, it's a challenge to give 10 grand and saying, as the Lord enables me, I'm going to give in faith this much if he blesses me in return. That's what this is about. And it's from March to March. The Kingdom Builders begins every March, ends every March. And it's a wonderful thing that we get to do because we get to change people's lives. We'll go to heaven one day and we'll meet people who are impacted by our giving, by the fact that we made a difference. And even the Apostle Paul says, what is our joy? What is the jewel in our crown? And he says to them, is it not you? What's the jewel in our crown is people. It's all about God's people. He wants people to come into his kingdom. You're not given to Life Church when you give to Kingdom Builders. You're given through Life Church to build the kingdom. It doesn't stay here. It goes out. It goes out to be a blessing to other people, to build the kingdom for his glory and his honor. So even these guides, you can give your time by going through this and reading the names, learning more about the organizations, placing your hand on this bad boy in an act of faith and praying over them, maybe even praying in the spirit. Asking the Lord to bless them, to give your time, talent, and treasure. Amen, everybody?
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.